Israel Report. We are joined this afternoon by Anthony Reich. He's got three very interesting stories for us. Good afternoon, Anthony.
Good afternoon. Nice to join in the afternoon for a change. How are you guys doing?
We are great, and I feel the same way you do. I feel like a special guest appearance. So we're doing great. We're doing wonderfully. We've gone straight from a bit of winter into summer. We skipped all the way through spring. And as Rabbi Nissel said earlier, the birds are tweeting, the butterflies are flying. Everything is great in South Africa. How are
things? Sounds fabulous, and the Israelis are sweating. That's all I can say.
Okay, yeah, I think you have it even a bit hotter than us. Talking about turning the heat up, Anthony, your first story is a report that Israel has been attacking targets in Iraq. What Iraqi targets would Israel want to attack?
Well, this has come as something of a surprise because Israel has not really been very active in Iraq at all. And of course, we know that the U.S. is very involved in Iraq still. And so this has really come as a bit of a surprise. But the report says that, that I've read at least, says that Israel has been attacking targets in Iraq that belong to Iranian-backed, Iran-backed militias. And they claim that some of the targets that Israel has been attacking are quite near to Baghdad and even include missile warehouses belonging to the Iranian Revolutionary Guards. And then the report goes on to talk about the fact that Israel had actually undertaken these attacks, which are at least three attacks over the past few weeks, undertaken these attacks with the understanding of both Washington and Moscow. So the Russians and the Americans were both in on these particular attacks that the IDF has carried out, the Air Force has carried out. And we shouldn't forget that the Iraqi anti-air system is quite sophisticated. This is not just a given. Iraq has quite sophisticated air defense capabilities. And one would have thought that, you know, Israeli aircraft might well be under some threat from those air defense facilities. But one of the reports says that one of the things that the Iraqi air defense capability cannot detect is an advanced Israeli air attack. And of course, we do know that Israel has access to the stealth bomber. And so the F-35, and so it's quite possible that Israel has been using the stealth bomber to carry out these attacks in order to ensure the safe return of those pilots who have been involved. Of course, we don't expect to receive any confirmation or indeed denial from the Israeli government and from the IDF about Israel's possible involvement in these attacks. Prime Minister Netanyahu is in Kiev at the moment on an official visit to the Ukraine, and he's, I think, just boarded a plane to return home after a two-day visit. And there is some suggestion that when he spoke about major security challenges, which were explained in a report that he had just received when he was stepping on the plane to return back to Israel, then some people have interpreted these security challenges to refer to these attacks that have been carried out near to Baghdad. There were reports of major explosions in that area where the Iranian Revolutionary Guards seem to have their missiles stored. And so, you know, everybody's putting two and two together and hopefully coming up with the right answer. But this is obviously going to remain speculation because there's nobody around who's prepared to really confirm anything or indeed deny that this is absolute nonsense.
Okay. So, Anthony, from the shadowy world of rail politic and warfare and espionage to a slightly more upbeat story, well, quite considerably more upbeat. Amazon has formally launched its operations in Israel. What kind of services is the company bringing?
Well, there has been some speculation already for a few months about Amazon deciding to open up operations in Israel. And about two or three months ago, there were some articles in the newspaper saying that Amazon had spoken about launching a Hebrew website and the possibility of them beginning to sell their services through Israel. As it is, Israelis are huge customers of Amazon, and Amazon is delivering a substantial number of packages to Israel, people buying through their website and ordering it. And it's very, very simple and very easy. The shipping cost is, something which Israelis can afford. The way that the taxes and all of that kind of stuff is dealt with is very, very simple. And so Amazon has become a very, very popular shopping place for Israelis. I'm not quite sure how many of Amazon's 300 million active customers worldwide are Israelis, but I would imagine that there would be quite a few, a high proportion of Israelis using that website. But we now understand that Amazon has officially announced, on its global website that operations in Israel are due to be launched, and they've actually already set up a website in Hebrew for vendors about the local delivery services, and they're urging Israeli businesses to join the service, as well as those foreign businesses who might be interested in offering their goods and services in Israel. They've spoken about arrangements that they've made with international shippers through local Israeli shippers in order to deliver goods to Israeli. So this all seems to be happening, and it seems as if though it's being timed to coincide with Rosh Hashanah, with the upcoming Jewish New Year, with the holiday season, where it's expected that a lot of Israelis will be looking to buy gifts and will be looking to buy other goods and services that are traditionally offered on Amazon. So it seems as if this is really finally happening, and I think a lot of Israelis will be very excited by it, because one's assuming that by buying Israeli goods and services through Amazon, obviously there'll be a saving on the shipping cost for those items that are bought locally. And we all already are familiar with the quality of the Amazon service. A lot of Israelis are hoping that they might even be able to subscribe to Amazon Prime, which guarantees service within a very, very delivery of goods within a very short period of time. So this is all quite exciting for the Israeli online shopping market. And obviously we'll be looking to see how this goes over the next few days and weeks, and how much of a splash in the local market the launch of Amazon will make.
Indeed. And then from the world of transnational business, Anthony, to the world of halakha and these kind of legal cases that keep cropping up in South Africa and in Israel. There's a man, a husband in Israel, who agreed to grant his wife a divorce in order for his mother to be buried. He's gone back on his word. What's the story behind this?
Well, for those people who listened in this morning, they would have heard the story up to a certain point, because there have been a number of developments during the course of today. But the background to the story is that this is actually an American man who separated from his wife some 14 years ago. And for reasons which I'm not familiar with, he has withheld giving her a get, giving her a Jewish bill of divorce. And as such, this lady has been caught in limbo without being able to get on with her life, because without that Jewish bill of divorce, without that get, she of course cannot remarry. He, in the meantime, has somehow found another rabbinical authority in America which has agreed to remarry him. So he, 2 years ago, became remarried, even though he hasn't given his first wife a get yet. And that is also a case for some concern, some people believing that that's been illegally done. But be that as it may, finally what happened was that over the last few days in America, the man's mother passed away. And the family decided that they wished to have the mother buried in Israel. And the rabbinical authorities in America contacted the rabbinate, the chief rabbinate in Israel, and they coordinated between themselves that the chief rabbinate in Israel would refuse to bury the man's mother unless he agreed to give his wife a bill of divorce, to give his wife a get. And apparently that was achieved yesterday, along with a sum of $20,000 being deposited as a guarantee to ensure that he stands by his word, signed all sorts of documents, and he deposited the money. Well, the latest on that story is that during the course of today, and after the mother has now been buried, and the man has apparently decided to go back on his word and not agree to divorce his wife at all. So this is a very, very sad kind of development for the story, because there were a lot of people who were feeling good about the fact that this woman would finally be released from her status as an aguna, as a status, her status as a chained woman, unable to continue with her life and unable to remarry, just appending his agreement to give her a get. And it seems as if though even the threats that were issued by the Israeli chief rabbinate and the threat not to marry, to bury his mother and the $20,000 that were deposited have not been enough to convince this man that he should stand by his word. So it's not clear exactly what the next steps will be, but I do know that the rabbinic authorities in recent years have been taking very, very stringent and extreme action against men like this who refuse to grant their wives a get. So obviously we'll keep watching the story, and who knows, by the morning there might be a further development for those people who are listening into the morning show. We will see how things go.
We certainly will. I guess we hear these stories in South Africa, but it's made all the more complicated by the fact that it's across two jurisdictions. As you said, a man in America trying to coordinate rabbinical councils across two countries. Hopefully the story, as you said, reaches a favorable conclusion and the woman is an aguna no more.
I hope so.
Anthony Reich, thank you so much for coming on this afternoon and giving us the Israel report. Have a great afternoon further. Hope we speak to you soon.
I take care. Thank you so much.